start with a prayer. Lord Jesus, we just offer the next half hour or so up to you, Lord Jesus. And Lord, I ask that you fill my mouth with your words and my heart with your passion. Lord, I ask that you move in each of us, Lord Jesus. Lord, that we might hear and receive, Lord, those words that you want us to hear and receive this morning, Lord Jesus. Lord, that the words we hear might become a power for changing our lives, Lord Jesus. Lord, I ask it in your holy name. Amen. Okay. I'm starting with a scripture which has been used, abused, misused, and has almost become an essential part of weddings and all sorts of things like that, baptisms. It's the Lovey's scripture. 1 Corinthians 13. I don't want to overrun, so I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm going to pick up on the bit after the Lovey's. It's one of those scriptures, they've taken that section of Lovey's, that little poem, and they've kind of used it in a way, I'm not sure it was entirely intended. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when what is perfect comes, the partial will be set aside. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. But when I became an adult, I set aside childish ways. For now we see in a mirror, indirectly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully, just as I have been fully known, and now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. Okay, last time I spoke about faith and doubt, and we learned that faith and doubt were linked. In fact, they were like the two halves of the same thing. Today, I'm going to start talking about faith, hope, and love. In this scripture, Paul describes these three things as the foundation of the Christian life. So it is quite important that we understand what they mean. If that's what we're standing on, if that's the foundation of who we are as Christians, then we need to know. Earlier on, I played you the 1969 moon landing. A time of hope. A time when some would say man showed himself at his best. With the courage, the ingenuity, the creativity, and that searching, yearning heart to learn. I'm not going to give a different side, because we are all born into a toxic world. When we're born, and we're that innocent child, do we start demanding, screaming, feed me now, there's something going on downstairs that I don't like, do something about it now? Or do we start as that innocent, loving child missing his mum? I don't know the answer to that one. But what I do know is it's not long before we learn that if we're going to get what we want, we need to manipulate things a bit. We soon learn that if we are going to get what we want, we need to fight for ourselves. I was born into a family of 6 children, so maybe I had to fight harder than some. But and for most of us, this reaching and grabbing is tempered by the desire to belong, to love, and to be loved. But even then, the love we seek is very me-centered. It's based upon my needs, my desires. Like orphan street children, we fight and struggle for our life, for our place in a toxic, dangerous world. Everyone feeling nice and uplifted? This may be an overly negative view of the world. Personally, I believe people are much better than that. But when you look at some areas of the world, when you look at some people, you can see it. And that is the point. Who you are and how you behave is the fruit of what you believe about yourself, about the world. And this is true for all of us, not just people of faith, but for everyone. Some may believe they are superior to others through education or wealth, and you see it in how they behave and what they do. Some may believe that they have no value, they have nothing to offer, and you can see it on them. I want to tell you a story. There's going to be several stories this morning, you'll be pleased to hear. I have always believed, you actually know, I used to run the youth group here, and I have always believed that every young person that walked through the door was valuable. That in that young person, there was a core of goodness, and they had the potential to be a pillar in our community and a real asset to those around them. Some of them it was easier than others, I will admit that. No names mentioned, but some of them were easier than others. We put on a music event down on the wreck. We had a big tent, we had a massive sound system, and we had loads of bands go down there. And this event caused quite a stir in the community. Partly because plates were being knocked off of bureaus, but apart from that, everyone was talking about it. One morning, quite early, this middle-aged, upright gentleman came up to me, and he proceeded to applaud my foolishness and my good intentions. He had been a magistrate for several years, and he'd worked in the probation service. So he knew teenagers, and he knew where those teenagers who were troublemakers ended up. And in his view, I was wasting my time. Because a teenager who was failing as a teenager to be human being would end up a criminal. And there was nothing anyone could do about it. Society would do better. I can't say this is precisely his words, but it's as I remember it. Society would do better to lock them up as teenagers and throw away the key. It would save us fortunes. But he was impressed with my stubborn refusal to see the obvious truth. So it ended on a positive note, I think. Two opposing beliefs. And whilst his beliefs might have been quite shocking, particularly considering the position he had, you can kind of see where he's coming from. Because to be honest, if you look at the statistics, they aren't necessarily in the teenager's favour. We have a conflict of beliefs. Two people who honestly believe in it, and they are acting in it, and it is shaping their lives. And we see that conflict throughout society, across the globe. The obvious one is ISIS and the rest of the world. There's a conflict of beliefs there. But also you see it in our little communities, amongst individuals, conflicts in beliefs. So to understand faith, hope and love, we've got to take a step back and make sure we understand what belief is. Both of us had a belief as defined by the buy-in. In both cases, the belief was shaping what we did. In my case, I was standing on the field running a music event and being told I was wasting my time. In his case, he was doing everything he could to hand down the maximum sentences and to avoid community service and other social sentences that he could use because he believed the best place for these teenagers was inside. I guess they learnt their trade there, I don't know. We trusted it, we acted upon it in the choices we made and the life we led. In the Bible, belief does not mean an intellectual, abstract belief. It is describing an active belief which gives birth to action and becomes the foundation of our life. The one who believes in him is not condemned. The one who does not believe has been condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the one and only Son of God. So, don't tell me that you believe in Jesus. Show me that you believe in Jesus. It should change the way we live and who we are. So belief is the starting point. When we first believe in Jesus, the first fruit that comes from that belief is faith. We begin to stand in faith that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died and rose again on the third day, that through his sacrifice, he paid the price for my sin and raised me up with him and restored my relationship with the Father and my position as his child of God. This newfound faith is born directly from my decision to believe, with a firm belief that would change the way I lived. A belief that I would trust and rely upon. So let's look at the first of the three foundation stones of Christianity, faith. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for, being convinced of what we do not see. I'm talking about faith, so I have to use that scripture.
Yes.
It's the law.
Yeah.
My problem is I'm not sure how helpful that is. I have read that scripture again and again and again, and I think it is probably one of the most confusing scriptures in the Bible.
But it's short and memorable.
It is short and memorable, and people can recite it very easily. Yeah. So if they ask for a definition of faith, they can say that, and everyone in the room is confused as they are. You see, my problem with this scripture is that phrase, faith is being sure of what we hope for. Really? possible. About 20 years ago, I went through serious financial difficulties. I was fighting bankruptcy following a liquidation of my company. I was struggling to pay my mortgage, and the building society was taking me to court to repossess my home. I prayed with such faith. I was on fire, speaking God's victory into my finances. The truth is, I was terrified. I had two teenage sons. It was my worst nightmare. And all I ever heard from God was, "Be still and know that I am God." He got sick of me asking, and I got sick of hearing that. Because what I wanted was him to sort out the building society and give me security at home. My prayers were cries of desperation, born not of faith, but of doubt. In the end, the case was thrown out of court, and the building society was told by the judge, if they ever bring in a case like this to court again, they're going to be hit with the charges for the court time. So that worked. My prayers were answered. My prayers were probably answered on my first prayer. I don't want to be too hard on myself. I did have moments during that time when I was able to put aside the fear, when I was able to accept that my dad loved me, that what happened to me and my family was, if anything, more important to my father than it was to me. That he was passionately concerned about what happened not only to me, but to my sons and to my wife. And that it didn't matter whether I was repossessed or whether I stayed where I was. Because all things work for the good of those who love the Lord. And in those moments, I found peace. And in those moments, I could communicate with God. You see, that's my problem with that scripture. It's not just about being certain of what you hope for. It's about knowing who your dad is, knowing his love for you, and knowing you can trust him. I cannot claim more than moments, but I do hope I'm better at it now. With faith, we need to be careful. How can I be certain of what I hope for? Surely only if Jesus has confirmed that it's mine. I couldn't be certain that my life with my home wouldn't be repossessed. I haven't had a splash of inspiration. I haven't got an email from God saying, "It's okay, don't worry, son, it's all going to be okay." I didn't know. I can't be certain of what I hope for. Because I can only be certain of God's promised it. And what's God's promised me? That he's my source and sustainer. That he'll never leave me or forsake me. He hasn't promised me that my mortgage will be paid. So I can be certain of his love, his care, his provision. Another example. My mother, I'm going to take this back a bit. My mother was an intensely proud woman. She was arrogant. She came from a aristocratic sort of background, family, and she had that air about her. She walked around most of her life with a nose in the air and saw the world like that. And she was a difficult woman to get on with. Then she got osteoporosis. And her spine started collapsing. And then she met the Lord. And she became a powerful prayer warrior. It is through the debilitating effects of this disease that she came to such a deep, intimate knowledge of Jesus. Those are her words, not mine. She never lost faith that her dad would heal her. Shortly before she died, she told me how. That her healing was the other side of the grave. All the way to the grave, she knew her dad would heal her. Faith is not about answered prayer. Faith is about knowing, having the absolute knowledge that Jesus is who he says he is. Faith takes that decision to believe and makes it the rock on which we stand, the foundation of who we are. The faith takes that choice to believe from who Jesus is to who I am, and more importantly, to whose I am. John 1, but to all who have received him, those who believe in his name, he has given the right to become God's children. Children not born of by human parents, or by human desire, or a human husband's decision, but by God. Through faith I know I am saved, his son. He did not leave me an orphan, but dwells with me. And as my story unfolds, the faithless grows. I am now not just his son, but his legitimate son and heir. I am his fellow worker in the kingdom. He is intimately and passionately in love with me. What happens to me matters to him. The desire of his heart is to bless me, and his blessings have no end. It's a faith born of intellectual understanding and relationship. And that faith gives birth to something. That faith gives birth to hope. Now, I'm going to go on next time, not necessarily this teaching slot, but probably Philip, but next time I'm teaching, I'm going to go on with this. I'm going to go on to talk in more detail about hope and love. But I can't leave this where it stands. I need to say something about hope and love, so bear with me just a few more minutes. Faith gives birth to hope. I hope because of who Jesus is. Hope is essential for happiness, peace, and joy. Just as the Father has loved me, I also love you. Remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. I want to go back to that magistrate. There was another distinct difference between us. He was known as a complainer. He had a generally negative view of the world. You obviously know him.
I know it well.
So, would you say he was a bubbly, happy character, full of hope and joy?
No. I've always looked at him as a very wicked man. I could tell you some more stories.
Yeah, no. No, we don't want to black anyone in the individual's minds.
He abused his position, no end.
Yeah. I would like to suggest to you that he lives without hope. Hopelessness is a dark void that anyone who has suffered from depression will know and understand. It drains your strength. It makes every thought, word, and deed pointless. It can lead to extreme violence, or it can lead to complete lethargy. And the only cure is hope. And hope starts with visions and dreams. I want to go back to the film right at the beginning. I remember watching on that massive TV cabinet with a tiny little screen in the middle of it, those guys, as they were floating around the moon, and the landing, and then the first step. It was a picture, it was a vision that inspired a generation. We start, hope starts with visions and the dreams. We say we can, you've got to have a dream. You've got to have something you're aiming for. You've got to have something to look forward to. When we build our hope on dreams for our business, very often we try to build our hope on the dreams of our marriage, of our relationship. We build our hope on the dreams for our children. Or maybe our hope is built on dreams of an experience or of our talent. The problem is that, like houses built on sand, very often those dreams collapse and we end up in a place where we have no dreams for our hope. Jesus encourages us to make the foundation of our hope faith in the love of your Heavenly Father, because that will never alter, that will never change. Nothing can take it away from you. It is a solid rock. If that is the foundation of your dreams, if that is the foundation of your hope, then nothing can take away the joy and the life that you have. The final one is love. And it almost seems that love doesn't really fit in anywhere. Love isn't born of faith. Love isn't born of hope. It's been a theme running through this, you know, belief, faith, hope. They're like a path we go on as Christians. But when you look again, you realise that before belief, there was love. Because I can only believe because Jesus died on the cross for me and demonstrated his love to me. So my belief is a reflection of the love that Jesus has already shown me. And when it comes to faith, there's that moment in most relationships when you look into the eyes of your partner and you decide, you know, I think I can trust you. I believe in you. I'm going to commit myself to you. And exactly the same thing happens in our faith. There's a moment where we say, actually, I think I can believe Jesus. I think I can trust Jesus. I think I'm going to commit to Jesus. So love is the foundation of belief. It's the foundation of faith. And it's the foundation of hope. Which is why love is the most important of all three. Because without it, they can't exist. hope grows from that love, that commitment, that faith, in a shared vision with Jesus for mankind, for the kingdom of God, born in us and in the world around us. So my message to you this morning is, don't stop at believing. It is only the beginning. Don't seek faith to answer prayers, but seek faith to trust your Father and know that He loves you. And don't seek a dream, a hope, to give you joy, unless that hope has the foundation of that rock in your life that will never change for all of eternity. Let's pray. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. I pray that according to the wealth of His glory, He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner person, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, so that because you have been rooted and grounded in love, you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and thus to know the love of Christ that surpasses all knowledge, so you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now to Him who by the power that is working within us is able to do far beyond all that we ask or think, to Him be the glory in the Church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Lord Jesus, we claim that prayer for each and every one of us this morning, Lord Jesus. Lord, that we might be filled up with all that You are, Lord Jesus. Lord, that we might see, start to understand just how deep and wide and high Your love for us is, Lord Jesus. Lord, that we might be drawn deeper and deeper into that love, into that grace. And Lord, that that faith, at the heart of who we are, Lord Jesus, might become a massive rock that nothing can move. Lord, I ask it in Your hope.